Blessed always, blessed always, for the arms of God surround us. Let our joy be so triumphant that we rest in God and say, blessed always, blessed always, for the arms of God surround us. Let our joy be so triumphant that we rest in God and say amen. Let our joy be so triumphant that we rest in God and say
let me invite you to just take a few nice deep breaths and maybe allow your eyes to close or just softly focus and just become aware of your breathing, breathing in and breathing out. And allowing your awareness, a lot of activity going on this morning, a lot of activity here and all around us, maybe just to allow all of that to be and allow yourself to just come to this present moment. And as you allow your awareness inward, maybe asking the question, for what am I grateful? For what in this moment am I grateful? And just allowing the awareness of gratitude to settle in your body. Allow yourself to calm, to settle, and to ground. Maybe you're here and there's something, it's hard to be grateful. Maybe it's a worry, a care, an anger. Can you meet whatever that is with love and compassion? Mindful that there's nothing to fix, there's nothing to change, maybe even nothing to understand, but just to be here as you are. Allowing your attention and your awareness now to come back to your breath, back to your body, back to the room, the sounds, the smells, the stillness. And taking a couple nice deep breaths, and as you're ready, gently opening your eyes.
Blessed always, blessed always, for the arms of God surround us. Let our joy be so triumphant that we rest in God and say amen. Blessed always, blessed always, for the arms of God surround us. Let our joy be so triumphant that we rest in God and say amen. Let our joy be so triumphant that we rest in God and say amen.
Good to rest, isn't it? Sometimes life feels like it just goes by us at light speed, coming at us from all kinds of directions. And yet, in the midst of that, we can know peace. We can know that in all of it, the presence of God, the presence of love, the presence of the divine, the sacred is here. And amen is just a way of saying, and so it is. Amen? Amen. I want to take a few moments this morning and acknowledge this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And as we prepare to just have a moment of silence in remembering, reflecting, and respecting what this day is all about, I would like to just offer a gentle invitation to anyone here today that has served or is currently serving in one of the armed forces of the United States, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Coast Guard. Would you be willing to stand so we could see who you are and just remain standing? Thank you. Thank you. I'd just like to invite us, you can look at the image behind me, the flag or whatever, but I'd just like us to take a moment and be still and remember those, having seen those who are currently serving or have served, those who have lost their lives in service of our country. Let's just take a moment and be quiet for a moment. Dear God, we are here in this moment as one of many communities in this city, state, nation that give pause to remember, reflect, and give honor and respect for those who serve to protect our freedom and our principles here in this country. We join our hearts in love. We join our hearts in gratitude and appreciation and deep respect for the men and the women, the moms and fathers, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, who with great courage and great self-sacrifice offered themselves in the service of our country. And we give our thanks. We give our love. We give our gratitude and appreciation for that. And may we live our best lives forward in honor, in appreciation of those who have given their lives on our country's behalf. We ask you for strength. We ask you for wisdom. We ask for grace. We ask for courage. And we thank you and we receive this in faith and in joy. Amen. And so it is. As I was thinking about today's message, the Memorial Day and all of that gave inspiration for what I wanted to spend some time talking about today. And when I was thinking about Memorial Day and all it represents, the word that just kept coming to me was courage. Courage. And in terms of, you know, what could this mean for us here today, I want to reflect on the courage to be you. The courage to be who you authentically and genuinely are. In many ways, I think this country was founded on the idea that that's what this human experience is. I couldn't not stop thinking about the beginning of our Declaration of Independence, which says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the word in there, the expression, the phrase that struck out to me is that word self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident. They didn't say we hold these truths to be given by God. They didn't say we hold these truths to be found in the Bible. They didn't say we hold these truths to be found anywhere else out there. They simply saw themselves that, no, this is how life is. And I just find that compelling as a minister, as a spiritual leader, because I want to be able to back up what I say with some kind of authority, with some kind of credibility, you know, or whatever. And I marvel at the courage of the founders of our country who looked at the world, who looked at the world from which they came and the new world in which they landed, and I want to say had the audacity to say all people are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable, inescapable, you can't run from it, rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The second word in there is the word all. Not some, not most, but all. And I think what is happening before our very eyes is a rediscovery and a reawakening to what the implications of that all really is. But I really believe that all starts with you. And it starts with me. The more aware we are of who we are, the more in love of who we are and our place in this world, I believe that manifests then in a greater diversity, a greater connection, a greater belonging that all of us know, love, and seek. But I don't know about you, if we're honest, sometimes that path of getting to know who we are can be a little confusing at times. Have you ever had an experience in life wondering, who am I? I don't know what's going on. Yes, yes. And the invitation here is, you know, can we show that not knowing in ourselves love and compassion? Because I think when we don't do that, that not knowing and maybe the associated anxiety or anger or depression or whatever, it gets projected onto other people or other things and then creates divisions where there aren't really. Now, it's also interesting, in just the way the calendar worked out this year, in the Christian tradition, today is known as the Day of Pentecost. Are any of you familiar with the Day of Pentecost? It's the story in the Bible where Jesus is ascended into heaven, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon a crowd as the sound of a great and mighty wind, and then tongues of fire on people's heads. Now, as you know, I spent 28 years, you know, in a tradition that preached on the factual accuracy of that event. And I want to say here that you can hold to the factual accuracy of that event and not. Because I think the more I get, the writers of the Bible were more concerned about spiritual accuracy and precision than they were about factual accuracy and precision. How many of you like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter? Name another one. Star Trek. What is it? The Hobbit. Yes, yes, okay, all right. Myths are lies that tell deeper truths. So when I think about this story of what happened at Pentecost, you know, were there really flames upon people? Did a person, Jesus, literally go up into the sky? Did the sound of a mighty rushing wind happen? Maybe. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that not happened. God and Spirit can do whatever God and Spirit wants to do at any time in history. But I think if we get hung up on that, we miss the bigger point of what was happening in the hearts of people. Because what happened in the hearts of people is they were gathered in Jerusalem, and many holy, pious Jews were there for celebration of a festival. I forget which one it is right now, but it's not important. And people were there from all the surrounding regions. If you've ever been in church, sometimes butchering the names of those places, you know, it comes up and kind of funny. But we could think of it as Idahoans were present, Washingtonians were present, Oregonians were present, Montanans were present, even Californians were present. That was for you, Joe. But people were all there. And mind you, the name Christian had not been told yet. Okay, that sets. I'm getting ahead of my. I don't want to get down that rabbit trail here. But these were just followers of a new way of being. Okay, and with the spiritual eye of the heart, there was this coming of a wind and fire, and then these people were speaking in languages. If you remember, okay, if you've been associated in Pentecostal churches at all, this is like, you know, excuse for speaking, not an excuse, a reasoning for speaking in tongues. See, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you speak in all these unknown languages. And the beauty of that, if you remember in the book of Genesis, the Tower of Babel, God scattered people across the earth and gave them different languages, and people couldn't understand each other. There's something significant now about the reuniting of people in their different languages. Now they can understood as symbolic, as mythological of this new thing that was coming. All of this, as we think of the world being made new, as we think of America being made new, there's a very, very personal application to you being made new and me being made new. And in the spirit of Memorial Day, in the spirit of Pentecost, in the spirit of the always coming Spirit of God. And if God isn't your jam, you can think of it as love. You can think of it as wisdom. You can think of it as knowledge or insight, whatever. Always being renewed in you. And I think we give honor to these days by intending to be the best and most authentic images and representatives of ourselves. That's what I'm inspired by when I think about today and everything it represents. When I think about the soldiers, the men and the women who've given their lives in the service of our country, I want to be the best American citizen I can be. And I want to be offering, you know, myself and my gifts and my talents in the furtherance of that. I love being here in Coeur d'Alene at Unity Church. And what excites me about that is thinking about how can we take the principles that have made this church what it is and live them forward in our community today. It's an adventure. It's a wild ride, you know. But I am so glad to be on it and so humbled and honored to be a part of it. I want to offer a question. This might be a little bit of a puzzler for you, but this might help you in these moments where you think like, ah, I don't know what's going on. It's a question. And it's this. Are we making the world in our image or receiving the world in its image? There's a tendency in our minds. Our minds are hardwired to make sense out of a chaotic, unpredictable world. Why is that? Because our minds want to keep us alive. It's normal. It's natural. There's nothing wrong with it. But the key to spiritually waking up is to not deny our mind's ability to see the world as it is, but to welcome those times when, oh my gosh, we can see the world in a new way. That's what our founders did. They came out of a world that had a very, you know, microscopic view of the world and had the craziness to believe in something bigger. I don't think they fully understood what it would look like, but this is what it is. And that dream is still being born in the hearts of people today. So for you, if you find yourself stuck, if you find yourself, the world is crazy, ask yourself, wait a minute. Is it me wanting to make the world in my image or receiving the world in its image? I think we talked about this last week or a couple weeks ago. It's a Copernican revolution. Copernicus. You remember what Copernicus did? You know, he discovered that the earth revolves around the sun. It wasn't a case of the sun revolving around the earth, It was a less earth-o-centric view of the world, of the universe. Very, very destabilizing. I think humanity is going through a Copernican moment in realizing that humans are not the center of the universe either. We're a significant part of it. The development of AI and the whole question of, is AI conscious? Is it sentient? Is it going to be more intelligent than we are? Can it think things and do things we never thought imaginable? Are machines coming to take over the world? It's very destabilizing. It can cause you to come to places where you feel like you're losing your very faith. You know, I mean these are deep, deep issues. But if we can continue to remain open, if we continue to maintain that sense of wonder and mystery and awe, oh my gosh, I think there's even greater truth and greater reality that we're coming to. And I think today we're living in one of those moments. And so it's again a chance for us to shift from trying to manage and control the world to belonging to it more fully and authentically. So I want to just offer four, and this is not an exhaustive list, but as I was thinking of what are the elements, what are the foundations, what are some pillars on around the courage to be you, what would they be? I came up with four of them that I hope will help you out here today. Okay, the first one is this. Cultivate courage. We're talking about courage. Now, courage means many things, but the root of the word courage is from the French cor, which means what? Do any of you know? Heart. Yeah. So to live with courage really simply is to live and move and speak and act from the heart. Understanding the proper relationship between the mind and the heart is essential. If we spend our days trying to use our mind to control and manage the heart, at least I found in my life, that's the source of all kinds of cognitive dissonance and mental disturbances, depression, anxiety, and all that kind of stuff. When we allow the heart to inform the mind, okay, that's where shifts happen. Our minds are not naturally wired for happiness and connection. They're wired for protection, and that's a good thing. But our hearts know better. Our hearts know longer. Our hearts know more than that. And so when we can allow our mind to be informed by hearts, that's what shifts the mind. That's what science of mind teaching is all about, is the awareness and the potential for the patterns and the neural patterns and the neural pathways in our minds to shift. I'll give you another example. Have any of you are familiar with the book The Red Badge of Courage? Have you ever read it? Ernie, what's it about? Can you give... I've been thinking about it, so I don't mean to put you on the spot. Thanks for being willing to play for me, okay? The Red Badge of Courage is a story of a young Civil War soldier who defects. He goes out to battle, and he's afraid. He goes back home in disgrace, and as the novel unfolds, it goes through his experience of personal shame and fear and everything, and redemption is community. It's a beautiful, wonderful story. But what I like about it is how it includes the whole range of human experience, not just the ones that we like, but the ones that are more difficult. It's an excellent, excellent, excellent book. But to be authentically you starts with courage, and it's living from that place in your heart fully and authentically, including those areas, admitting those areas where maybe you're afraid, maybe you don't know, maybe you're not sure. Courage. Speak and live from the heart. Second one, nurture compassion, primarily self-compassion. The etymology of the word compassion means to suffer or endure with. That's compassion. Suffer or endure with. Calm with passion, suffering or passion, energy. Self-compassion is the art and is the ability to, again, to know yourself and to be with whatever it is that you're going through. In the unfolding of love in our life, be it a relationship, be it with money, be it with a job or career, be it with whatever, there's the experience of chasing love or being chased by love. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that? Chasing after something, you know, and not getting it, or being chased by something and like, I don't know if I want this. This is too much, okay? And what it does is it creates this ambivalence. I want this, and I don't want it at the same time. I want this, I don't want this at the same time, okay? Self-compassion is the awareness of those energies in our life and being able to hold that with love and compassion. Just thinking about this in relationship terms, you know, what would I, it's asking yourself, what would I feel if I stopped chasing love? You know, what emotions would I need to feel? Maybe feelings of abandonment, maybe feelings of aloneness, maybe feelings of unworthiness. Can you feel that and love that? If you're being chased by love and don't want it, you know, what feelings are you afraid of? You know, maybe I'm, you know, going to lose myself. Maybe I'm going to get absorbed in something. For 28 better years, you know, I spent my life in evangelical Christianity being chased by that belief system, you know. And it was like, I want it and I don't want it. I want it and I don't want it. I want it and I don't want it. And it wasn't until life and its grace helped me just realize, okay, wait a minute, you know, this is not fully, completely, entirely true for me. And going through some of the emotional experience of that I was able to find myself now, almost 9 years later, here. in a place that is much more aligned and much more attuned with who I am. Okay? In the journey to be you, in the journey to know yourself, show yourself incredible patience, incredible compassion, incredible self-compassion along the way. And you'll find great things happening. Number three, welcome humility. A lot of things written about humility, but the root of the word humility is from the word humus, which means of the earth. Of the earth. So to be humble is to realize your earthiness, your groundedness. And there's so many things that have been said about humility. You know, one of the things I used to say is humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. But a definition I came across that I really like is humility is taking your place in the world. It's knowing your place. It's knowing your purpose. It's knowing your calling. It's knowing your gifting and taking your place in it. Because knowing your gifting, knowing your calling ties you to a greater purpose, ties you to a greater vision, ties you to a greater understanding. And I think it's very, very humble to say, this is who I am and this is what I've been called to do. Now, again, sometimes that sense of calling and that sense of purpose may not be clear, or it may change, and that's okay. That's where we go back to being compassionate and being gracious with ourselves. But there's something powerful and effective about just showing up and being who you are in the world. And here's the key: true humility is doing it without any fanfare. I learned a new term this week. I don't know if any of you heard of it. Virtue signaling. Have any of you heard of virtue signaling? Virtue signaling is, and it's mainly on social media. You know, it's stumping for causes or movements from a place of wanting yourself to look good or to be accepted, okay? So these are people who are always saying, yes, we should do this, we should do that, we should do this, we should do that, but never do anything about it themselves. And it comes from a place of trying to look good, trying to look virtuous, trying to look compassionate. You know, it's virtue signaling. Humility is going out and doing anything, or giving to something or working for something without anybody knowing about it. Jesus talked about, you know, not when you do something, not letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing, not letting the right hand know what the left hand is doing. There's an invisibility of it. You know, and I think this is especially important for us as church communities, because it's yeah, it can be really tempting for church communities. You know, look at us, look at how great and how virtuous you are. And I am so proud and excited about all the things that we're doing here, all the things that we're doing here. And we can celebrate them fittingly and properly. But I just want to remind you that the sweetest rewards and the ones that last are the things that you do and nobody else knows about them. Jesus said, when you go to your Father in secret. And your Father, Mother, God, whatever, is going to reward you in secret. That's humility. All right, last one. Embrace integrity. Integrity. The root of the word integrity is from the word integer, which means whole. Whole. Now, in the world from which I came, integrity was like a real heavy word. And it was a real moral word. And it was a real, like, oh, integrity. Okay, it almost can lead to a perfectionism. You know, when I would hear integrity, okay? But the more I've thought of integrity, the more I've thought that there's so much, much more to that. It's being wholly and authentically who you are in the world. And I have to tell you, I've told you that being here in Coeur d'Alene, you know, the land just gives me so many gifts. And that gift primarily of belonging here, you know, just as I am as a person, I mean, it's just the trees, the lake, the mountains, as I'm in that energy, I just get this sense that, yes, James, we, the land, this community, welcome you here just as you are. But I got to show you something else. When I was thinking about integrity, a gift that the land here has given to me about what this means, and this comes in the context of the sacred fool. The sacred fool. As you think about your integrity and living with the courage to be you, think about looking for, listening for, or watching for the sacred fool. They are the things that appear foolish, maybe a little silly or absurd. Let me show you how this has been showing up in my life. These are a group of turkeys, and I don't know if you can see, it's at least a couple of dude turkeys chasing a couple of female turkeys. And I was just driving in my neighborhood, and these birds are just walking in the street, doing their thing, completely, thoroughly, entirely nonplussed and unfazed by my presence there. And I just had to laugh. I guess they're doing their mating ritual, right? You know? And I mean, I think across all species, you know, the dudes, man, we show our feathers however it is we do that, you know, in the hopes to try to find a male or a female, you know, to mate and procreate our species. And what struck me about the integrity of that is they're just being what they are without any sense of, you know, demanding to be this way, without any sense of apologizing or hiding it. They just are. And there's something about the foolishness of that that I find attractive, you know? And so this is kind of the sacred fool of my life, the gift of the message of turkeys, you know? It's just utterly, utterly astounding. And so I want to leave you today with, again, the courage to be you. I hope that you can hold it with, yes, a seriousness and a reverence, but also a sense of laughter and lightness, and celebrate your uniqueness. Celebrate your peculiarity. Celebrate your silliness, you know, and revel in that, because I think that's what our world needs today. Sometimes we take ourselves so seriously that to be able to just, you know, just laugh. That's really good. Yes, Doug?
One thing I learned in the Marines was to lead by example, and you never know when a good example might affect somebody else, maybe even save their life, change their life, and I think that's what we need to be, is a good example for other people.
Absolutely. For those of you who didn't hear, Doug was talking about in the Marine Corps, he learned about the value of leading by example. Absolutely. And when we lead by example, when we live by example, our integrity, our fullness, our wholeness, that has a ripple effect and inspires the same thing in us. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you. And so it is.
I remember days of sunshine, days of rain. I remember knowing spring will come again. And when I sing, I remember all the wonder I have seen. Waters reaching the horizon, waves that carry you and me. I remember this, my friend. I remember golden summers when Yes, your court is high. I remember. I remember. Branches reaching to the sky. And when I see, I remember all the harvest of the fields, fruits of love that lie in waiting, all the bounty now revealed. I remember this, my friend. In my song, through a wild green meadow, the sun shines so bright in my eyes. In my song is a day by the cool of the waters, knowing that you're by my side. Together in a moment, finding somewhere to